The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. It is obvious as we try to listen to God's word, especially the gospel and the psalms speak about this gifts of the kingdom and the hope of God, that there would be a fruitful harvest, an awareness of how God empowers us to life in the kingdom. And it begins even with the first reading. It's very positive. It reminds us, as Isaiah was speaking to the people, Israel, when they were in captivity in Babylon for almost 50 years, that Isaiah was reminding them that God's promise and his renewal would come about for them, that they would be able to return to their city, Jerusalem, and rebuild it and have a new life. He reminds us about the promises of God that are fulfilled. And so he says, just as the rain comes down from the earth, so shall my word go forth from my mouth, achieving the end for which I sent it. There is a goal, and then there is an end. And as we listen to the gospel today, it's obviously a parable or two, complex, but a couple things are very important for us. So one simple story that may help us think about this. So it's about a newly ordained priest who confessed to his pastor as he was starting to get into the rhythm of being a pastor and preaching on the weekends, but he truly confessed that he struggled to preach and especially began his sermon or homily. And so the pastor said, well, I can give you a simple suggestion. And so the young priest was very open and receptive. And so the pastor said, well, maybe for an example, you might say and begin your sermon by saying, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was someone else's wife. And there was a pause. And then the pastor continued and says, she was my mother. And so she encouraged the young man to think about some story like that. Well, the weekend come, and the young priest just thought, well, I'll just use the pastor's illustration. So after proclaiming the gospel, he, with great hesitancy and yet with courage, walked up to the pulpit, shaking a little and sweating, and finally began. The pastor told me some of the best years of his life were spent in the arms of a woman who was someone else's wife. And obviously the congregation was paying attention, but he got a little nervous, and it overtook him, and his mind went blank. And I can relate. And then he blurted out, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name. So we can hear things, but sometimes can we remember? That's maybe one of the first lessons of the gospel, about hearing the word. And then secondly, it's the level of trying to integrate it into our lives. Jesus, obviously, in many parables, uses, we might say, earthy or creation-related parables, because really we think about we are formed from the earth or from the dust, and that's where we shall return. But Jesus, again, in using this parable about the sower and the seed, that there really are a couple different angles to analyze or reflect upon. One is obviously the word, and the second parable reminds us that the word is really meant to be God's wisdom, God's truth that comes to us. And how receptive are we? So we might say that the soil is kind of like our soul, to say something deep within us. And sometimes to get there, there's layers that it has to penetrate. And to think about our lives and the journey that Jesus was reminding the disciples, that obviously the kingdom of God has many crevices and places and potentiality to grow and flourish. And to think of how generous God is as he sows the word. The first part of the parable talks about God sowing the seed wherever, on concrete, on the highway, on the garden, or in the garden, I should say, or, you know, other places. But God is generous and just has a great hope that somehow there will be a return that is meant to not only reveal the goodness of God, but the gift of his virtue. And then secondly, we know that the second parable reminds us that there are other ways as we try to receive it to say that what happens to us and what happens to the soil. Just to give you an illustration, so my nephews still farm, so it's the family farm, it's the fourth generation. because of their own awareness of the land and trying to be good stewards. Obviously, farming is a very complex enterprise these days. And so they are even working on ways to not only give fertilizer and all this other stuff, or nutrients that plants need to grow and be fruitful and to have an abundant harvest, but they're also thinking about new ways of saying, how do we also nurture the soil? And so looking even at new technologies that help the soil become fruitful but become life-giving. And that's also an invitation to us to not only hear the word, but to say, how do we become life-giving and imitate God's way of revealing virtue, mercy, compassion, his gift of justice and peace, whatever it might be. So as we pray today to think about in our own lives, is there a habit or something in my life that prevents me from receiving God's word or his wisdom or truth? Secondly, if I acknowledge it, can I allow it to be softened by God and his compassion as I bring it maybe to prayer or even come to reconciliation to let go of anger or something that really is becoming an obstacle to God's goodness or grace? And then lastly, as we continue to pray, to think about the Master Gardener always wanting to work in our lives, to not only make us fruitful, but to reveal this goodness of God that is truly beyond comprehension. Thus, let us pray and ask God to help us not only receive the word, but be aware of the fruitful harvest in which we too are participants and recipients of God's care.